Well, we are wrapping up our series in the book of John. We went through John 7 and John 8. And today, I'm going to just share a little bit. Then we're going to have a time where we've done this from time to time in our series, where you're going to have an opportunity to share things that you've learned from the series. So be prepared for that. And I'm going to ask Keith if you would be the microphone guy. All right? Not yet, though. I'll tell you when. I just want to share some things from my perspective as we kind of wrap this up. And I'm going to do this a little bit differently. I'm going to share kind of what I learned as well, not just from my own study, but from the other guys who taught and from my own experience of what God's doing in my heart. It was neat to hear Tom share about Bob and what he's learned through our series on the sovereignty of God. We are going to be finishing that series next week, and it has been one marvelous series on learning who God is and what his intent is. And I just want to share through that, because God has changed me over the couple years that I've been studying this. It really has begun to change my focus on every time I go to God's Word. I begin to see it through a God who is supreme and sovereign. And it has made an effect on me, and I think a powerful effect, because it gives such great strength and hope. And I thought about, as Steve started off the series a few months ago, on the whole idea that Jesus got to a point where he began to testify. All through the early part of Jesus' ministry, he was doing miracles, he was saying things very carefully, and now at a point in John 7, he's beginning to spill out some things that are very blatant and powerful. And it's interesting, the book of John, if you would compact the time that John deals with in the life of Jesus, it's actually pretty small. We dealt with, in John 7 and 8, just over a week of a time in Jesus' life. When we get to the chapter 13, it's really just another week prior to the Passover and the death of Jesus that deals with his life from 13 to the end. And then there's some single incidents from John 1 and 2 that he deals with personal people. Nicodemus in chapter 3, the woman at the well in chapter 4. When he gets to 5, and I want to kind of backload you with this, and if you would put the first scripture verse up on the board here, from John chapter, I think it's 5 here, 5:18. It says this: "For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath," because he healed a man prior in the passage before, he was breaking the Sabbath because he, but he was even calling God his own father. And here's a little commentary for us: making himself equal with God. Now, if there was ever a time that Jesus could have said, whoa, I know your hearts, I know what you're thinking. No, that's not who I am. This would have been a time that would have been powerful for Jesus to say, no, that's not true. And we won't deal with it today. You can do it with your own devotions. But if you go on and read the passage, not only does he not stop that statement, he even adds power to it, which really is another small window where Jesus is allowing man to understand what he's saying. I am God. Powerful statement for us to understand, because Jesus didn't reveal that in a lot of the portions of his life and miracles. He was sometimes, keep it secret, okay? Don't tell people. Now it's a time, as we went through, that Jesus is beginning to testify boldly on who he is. And as we get into chapter 6, just prior to our study, there's another couple key verses that I think are powerful as Jesus reveals truth. And if you could put up John 6:60, as Jesus was teaching and sharing things, it says this verse in 60: "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?'" And I kind of think this is where the rubber meets the road for us, all right? The guys who have taught, and I've tried to do the same, have plainly taught what Jesus was teaching. It's clear to understand, but you and I need to ask the question, do we believe it? Am I going to make it part of my life to carry out and follow Jesus, who is God, God the Son? Well, if you drop your eye down to verse 66, and you can put this next verse, John 6:66, here's a lot of responses from Jesus' bold statement. Now, as we get into chapter 7 and 8, it says this, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. What a sad statement. And it's interesting to think, you know, chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000, and they followed him all over because they wanted to be fed physically. They did not want to be filled spiritually. And when they began to understand the power of Jesus, many fell away. My question to you and I is, we need to ask ourselves, are we going to fall away? You know, we are, I think personally, moving into an era in the life of this world where we are going to have to take some bold stands. You and I need to prepare. Are we going to continue to follow God if it gets hard? Our prayer is that we would, so we can encourage each other all the more. But as I thought about this and what we studied in the past, I could not help but think, as I've been studying the sovereignty of God, and Anna, you mentioned it too, and in our study, we recognize that God has a master plan. When he created the earth, actually, the word says this, even before creation was birthed by the words of God, he had a plan of redemption because he knew man would fall into sin and would needed to be redeemed. And God had that plan, the scripture says, fixed or established. And he's working that plan to this very day so that everything that happens in our lives and around the world is right on his timetable. That brings tremendous comfort. And I think as we've gotten into 7 and 8 and seeing the boldness of Jesus, Jesus himself has worked right through this timetable that now is the time that I will not hold anything back. I am declaring who I am and my purpose, because Christ's life, his death, burial, and resurrection is key to the master plan of God that is happening right on time. That's why Bob can take comfort as he's been studying and knowing that Jesus was be able to fulfill this, that what's going on in Bob's life right now is part of God's master plan. And he will work it for what? Good. Do you and I believe that? This is the encouraging thing about the scriptures. Jesus, our greatest example, fulfilled God's plan. And we see this over and over. I have come to do the will of him who sent me. My meat is to do what the Father wants me to say and wants me to do. He gave an example to us so that we could follow his steps. What a marvelous encouragement that is to you and I. So that as we get into the sharing time, I want you guys to share how God is touching your life. Are you being encouraged by the things that Jesus is saying and the things that he's doing? Because it is exactly on God's timetable. The crucifixion was right on the very day that God wanted it to be, before the creation of the world. And because of Christ's life and resurrection, the very day he comes for you and I is right on schedule. Now, some of us are trying to guess what it is. God says, don't guess. Just occupy till I come. You and I need to be living out what he wants us to be. And that's the wonderful study that we just went through with the life of Jesus in John 7 and 8. It is right on time. And we can take courage. And we can be faithful that God will see that everything gets done perfectly according to his master plan. Are you willing to follow for the rest of the journey? That's my prayer. Let me just pray as we open this up to the congregation. Father, I just pray that as we listen to one another and what you're doing in our lives through the study of your word, and specifically through John 7 and 8, how people were touched, I ask, Lord, that you would bless our hearts, that we would recognize, Lord, that you are doing a work in us that is for your glory, that it's for eternity, that it's permanent. And Father, you are the one who said that you will go about giving your son a bride. That's us, your church. And we just praise you for that. Thank you for your master plan in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if Keith, if you would go back and get the mic from Dave, I'm going to kind of monitor this. We have a certain time frame here, so if I start coughing loudly, it means you're almost done, and we'll move on to somebody else, or I'll do some other gestures, okay? Don't be shy. It's always the first one. It's the hardest. But this is a time that you want to just share what God's doing in your life, what you've learned about him, specifically through John 7 and 8. So who'll be first? Mrs. Merwin down here. Thanks, Shelby.
I'm not a good public speaker. I'm probably going to cry.
Crying's acceptable.
Well, I'm usually not here more than I'm here, but what I've gotten from this is I've been asking God to make me more accountable in my life, in the world, and usually I go like out far. I want to do something great, you know, I don't know, probably for my own glory. And I was looking into the Moldova trip and everything, but I realized that the Lord called me to do something at home. And I'm going to take the big step and take my kids out of a wonderful Christian school, but make myself more accountable in my life with the Lord, in my walk, and their life. Mm. And that's big, and it's big for us. And I just don't want to give up. I realize that all those little sins that we make okay aren't okay. And I would just want to be better. And I got that a lot. So, thanks.
You're welcome. Praise God for that. That's the opposite of, and they followed him no longer. Yeah. Shelby, you're saying, I want to follow him more.
Yeah.
That's good. It's great. Who else? You can get back to Keith. Good testimony. Jesus said, I testify. That's what you're doing. You're telling you something to be true. Mike over here. First row. You see him, Keith? Good.
All right. Last week, Tim, great reminder. His two sons were no match to him in his Nerf gun. No match. Because he was bigger, smarter. And the thing that hit me the best was he took the Otterman in the dark and put it, hoping those kids would run through that room, hit that Otterman, and go face first. And as I was thinking about it, I do many things in my own strength. But I had to start thinking, I've been thinking all week, what is the Lord putting in my tripping path? What he said that self-deception leads to destruction. So I had this week, and just trying to, how am I deceiving myself? Mm. And what is Satan? Is that Otterman? Is it? What is it? And I have been looking, trying to weed that stuff out. That was a great, great message. Just a little Otterman in the dark. Mm. And, you know, the Lord used it for me to examine.
Great, Mike. That's a fantastic realization to come to, because when you think about it, all the encounters that Christ had with the Pharisees in John 7 and 8, they were facing God and basically, you know, just ridiculing him and putting him down. and to be able to see the deception that we have, because we're no different, is powerful, because the Pharisees did not see their deception, and they were deceived. Thanks for sharing that. Who else? Joy over here.
The women doing the Bethmore Bible studies have commented before about how the Bible studies and the teaching so often go hand in hand without any intent. The teaching's from John, and we're studying the Old Testament tabernacle, so it wouldn't seem to be anywhere near the same. However, part of what we're talking about is prayer and the intercessory position that Jesus has. And George talked about how, when he was talking about the woman found in adultery, that God knows all the details of our lives, and he made the statement about that's part of Jesus' act of intercession with the Father, going over the details of our lives. And Beth Moore had said the one day in the study, can you imagine that conversation? Like, what would Jesus be saying to God about you? And you're like, oh, wow, that's really a powerful thought. You know, is he saying, look at her, what is she doing now? Or, wow, that was really good for her. So it's just amazing when you think about Jesus. It's so outrageously huge. We can't take it in that Jesus is intercessing for each one of us on an individual basis. It's amazing. We can't even comprehend it.
Amen. Thanks, Joy. Someone else? A young person? Have you learned things these last few months? I see a hand. Faith. By the way, don't worry about those noises. With the nice sun and the wind is up now, we hear people gardening. So just pay attention to Faith.
On February 14th, there was a message on Jesus Amazes. I forget who was the one who preached that one. One of the points that was made was, we can assume who Jesus is, like the Pharisees, and then our assumptions of Jesus based on truth. And it's just very interesting how often we all come from different backgrounds, but sometimes you grow up in the Word, or like I did, you grow up in Christian school. And it's just amazing to think, are we basing it on truth? And then from that, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, just how important his Word actually is, and how we take it so for granted. And that just has been something pressed more in my heart lately, of the importance of really immersing ourselves in God's Word and really seeking him there to find out not only who he is and who he says he is, but what he wants for us in our lives and in that moment. And if we're really not immersing ourselves in his truth, I think it's very difficult for us to know where the Spirit is and to be led by the Spirit. So.
Amen. That's great. And Faith, it's our intent that you don't remember who was teaching. That's a good thing. We want to see that. And you know, just thinking again, through the sovereignty of God, we learned through there that if you're going to study truth and the subject of God, you're going to need a divine compass and an anchor within the veil, which is really basically an understanding with the tabernacle that we can go into the holy holies because of Christ and have relationship with God. So it all fits together, doesn't it, Joy? It's really, really neat that way. Who else? We have time for a few more. Tina?
As a student myself, as working with you guys, I know you kind of go to school, and a lot of times you feel like, I have no idea what in the world this is going to mean and what the purpose of this fraction is and this statement and this term and stuff like that. And I just want to share with you that as a follower of Christ, as a student, as his daughter, it has been an incredible journey, and there's been so many things that over the past few years and definitely through this series that have stuck out to me, but I haven't really understood, like, what in the world is the purpose of this? And it's been really incredible over the past few weeks, the new freedoms that he has given me and the new ways of showing me how to listen for his voice above the evil one, above the condemnation that has been coming and the voices that I hear over and over and over again. and showing me how to fight against that and truly believe and immerse in the love that he has given. And that's been an incredible gift.
Thank you. Great testimony. Dan in the back.
Tim talked about following the light, and the last point he made was, you know, following the light towards God's perfect plan, which we all talk about. But just as I was thinking about it, and after Shelby was talking, I looked back, and Tim said something, and it really struck home with me, and that's, follow the light and don't judge it. And then he went on to talk about not knowing God's mind, or that I won't even know the plan for my children. And I think about what Shelby shared, and I'm thinking, yeah, we can all look at this grandiose stuff, and Moldova's wonderful, and Puerto Rico's wonderful, but she's talking right into our children's lives now, and this is, you know, she doesn't have to guess, you know, we don't have to guess or judge what we're doing, just know that this is what God has led us to do. And it's just an incredible thing that it's the small and the great that God is leading us to do, and all we have to do is follow him.
Yeah. Yeah. From the passage again, even today, accept it and submit to it. It's not easy, but boy, it's the right thing to do. All right. No one? Last chance. Well, I appreciate you guys sharing. I'm just going to close us in prayer. And then if somebody could just maybe go down and tell the teachers to come back up. I think, Jeff, all the kids are staying down, right? There's nobody coming up? Yeah, they're all staying down, okay? So those who are going to go down and relieve the teachers, you can do that while I'm praying. And we're going to kind of just go right through, and Jeff's going to come up and begin the opening here of our vision budget meeting. So let us just pray. Father, it is encouraging to hear your children share what you're doing in their lives. And I thank you that you're working in my life. And Lord, we would just really ask by your grace that you would just continue to work your Holy Spirit in our lives through your word, that we would be men and women of the word who study to show ourselves approved to you, Lord, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, who rightly and correctly handles your word. Lord, your word is powerful, it is true, as we said today, and it frees us to be able to live for you. And we are confident, Lord, that you are working out everything according to your plan. Help us to trust that. And we ask that you would be with us as we again look for this next year, for your guidance, your strength. Thank you for each one of us as members here at Hope of your family, your church, your bride. And we give you all the praise for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.